This is Scamp Life, the program side.
A weekly podcast for summer camp professionals, hosted by Kerr Jackson and Chris Callow.
Now it's time for another entertaining episode exploring the fantastical world of summer camp programming.
All right, welcome back to Scamp Life, the programming side. This is Kurt, and with me, as always, is the awesome Chris. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good, doing great. Looking good, Kurt. That Florida sun, it's back on you again. Is it nice to be back in Florida? You like it back there?
It's Florida.
Snow, Indiana.
You know, while we were traveling, we were always going to places, wondering if this was going to be on our short list, right? We were looking for places to move to. And there were some places on the West Coast we like, but Tina's parents are over here. So she's now, we can't, parents are aging. So we can't be all the way on the West Coast. But we would go through a town. More than not, we were like, this is not on the short list, right? People live here? Really? And Indiana, not on the short list. No offense to Indiana.
Come on.
But at least we didn't see really much of Indiana, but the parts we saw were just very country, very out in the middle of nowhere, at least the RV places that we stayed at. But really, honestly, most places
where I
in
live
America
is out in the middle of nowhere.
It is. When we went to your camp, I was like, are we still driving? Are we on the right road? Where is this place?
You know what you missed yesterday, though? Was it 2 days ago? The totality solar eclipse. We have that in Indiana. So, boom. Do they talk about this in Florida? Oh, man. We've heard nothing but eclipse for the past year since we moved here.
Oh, my goodness. Speaking of things that are changing, we have decided that...
I need sad music. I got none.
We are coming to the end of this podcast,
leaving on a jet plane.
Basically, I contacted Chris and I was like, listen, I'm moving into the whole escape room thing. We're looking at property right now. We're going to open, not Chris and I, but Tina and I are going to open a escape room business. She's owned one in the past. And so we're starting from scratch. And that's going to take up all of my time building rooms, running the business and everything else. And I told Chris, listen, if you wanted to take it over, you can do that, but I don't have the time anymore. And he's, look, I'm at a new camp. I'm trying to get some cool stuff going. We've got board meetings and donor meetings and all these meetings. And he's speaking at all these conferences and everything else. He's like, no, man, I don't have time either.
It's busy.
So we've got 5 episodes left.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Did you just hear the audible gasp come across the United States? Oh, that's so sad.
Such a sad day. The girls on the Scamp Life, the other side, they want to continue. They're going to take over the editing. That's the big thing, right? The editing is what took so long. So each episode,
I never did it.
Fair enough. So a little pull behind the curtain. We record these and that's about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and then hour and a half with all of us talking.
It is right now. It is 10:55 my time. We started at 9 a.m. and we just finally got to an actual recording right now.
True.
So for an hour and 40 minutes.
We jabbered. We were catching up and just talking and stuff. But as far as recording time, about an hour, really.
Yeah.
And then I had to go into edit, open up the editing, download the audio, and then listen to all of it so that I can edit out ums and uhs and things that probably are not for anyone's ears but ours. I forgot a few times, but and then anything is, oh, I gotta run to the restroom, or oh, the phone just rang, that kind of stuff. So edit all that out. That takes, because you had to listen to the whole thing and then got to put in the music, that is a 3-hour job per episode. And then you got to upload it. You got to write the show notes. You've got to, then I got to upload that to not only the host, but the website. So it's a process. And I just don't have time to do that. And starting a, we are starting, I guess we're shifting.
We've been talking about escape rooms pretty much every episode anyway. Exactly. So now we're just going to talk about only escape rooms in every episode.
Exactly. So we are starting a new escape room podcast called Mystery Soup. Yeah. So anyways, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And so, and obviously, and we talked about this too. We've talked about everything in programming that we know.
In fact, to the point where I was looking at today's notes and stuff I had, I'm like, hey, I'm changing that because I've talked about that before. Like, right. I know I, and go back and look at notes. Yep, we did. So we're almost to the point where we're starting to repeat some stuff and not realizing we've repeated it. But
yeah, that's true. That's true. So anyways,
but we may be back one day. We're
keeping it open. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So occasionally we may be like, hey, what's
special
up?
Special reunion episode.
Right. Anyway, so this episode, though, we are doing our magazine style, which we enjoy. And we've heard that some people enjoy as well. Some people want the deep dives. We get that. We're not deep dive guys.
No.
We just don't find it, I don't know, just this on one topic.
ADHD for a deep dive.
Right.
It's too much.
So we're going to do this and then a few more episodes every other week. We know, hey, listen.
Five total and we're done.
Just pointed out our intro says this is a weekly podcast. Mm-hmm. We've gone to every other week because the girls on the other side are the opposite weeks. So you're still getting an episode every week between the two podcasts, but we are every other week until, I guess, June. And then we are.
Is that how long it is?
Nothing.
June 4th is our final episode.
Yep. So sad. All right. All right. We're so done. If you want to send us any parting gifts.
Yeah,
I'll send you
my Venmo. Let me see what it says. I have a weird Venmo because it's like Chris Dash Callow or something. Like there was already a Chris Callow Venmo.
What? There's no Chris Callow anywhere.
I don't even remember what mine is, but it's like something weird. But
that's the one thing with your name. Like you go on Facebook, you look up Chris Callow, you can find you. You look up Kurt Jackson.
Kurt Jackson.
Forget it. There's just too many of us. Curtis Jackson's. Anyways. All right. So here's the deal. Chris has so many good ideas, which makes sense.
I had all my notes ahead of time.
He's still an executive director at a summer camp. That's true. I am not. But he's got so many good ideas that we decided, hey, listen, you're gonna do all the topics for this episode. We do have a call-in question, so I will handle that, or at least say it. We'll talk about it, but let's start at number one. Camp-wide activity or event. What do you got, Chris?
So this is something I got from, it used to be called Camp Awana. They just changed their name to the Woods Camp because they don't do a bunch of stuff with Awana. And they do, especially for their, whatever, their man camp, their men's retreat, that they have fireworks. They get awesome fireworks and set them off and they all enjoy fireworks. I'm like, what a cool idea. Now, where I was at in Illinois before, you can't just go and buy fireworks. Like you had to, and unless it was 4th of July, you really shouldn't be setting them off because some cop's going to get called and you're going to be in trouble. Now, where I'm at in Indiana, I can go right uptown. There's a fireworks store. I can go buy some cool fireworks. In fact, the sign on the Indianapolis fireworks store, it says the largest fireworks store in the world.
You know how many largest fireworks stores we passed?
So I don't know how true that is, but that's what it says. And so I'm like, that would be cool. That'd make a nice, cool ending to camp. Like you'd have your campfire and then sit out and watch fireworks. So something just unique and different that not a lot of people are doing.
All right, listen, I've got a few things to say about this. Yeah. Number one, when we were traveling around the country, we saw so many fireworks shops. And they're usually out in the middle of nowhere. But they were huge buildings. And we're like,
oh yeah,
how much rent are they paying on this? Like fireworks must be big business. Big business, right. Year round kind of thing. I don't know. So my question to you is, how safe is it for you to set off like the cool? Or
The cool ones. I think the cool ones, you have to have, so the really good ones, you have to have the whole computer like system, because like you set it up.
There's a computer system?
There's like a whole system that you press a button that you're not nearby that starts the fireworks off. Yeah. Now I'm thinking not the ginormous fireworks on 4th of July, but like decent ones that you could still get. I've set those off before. They're actually not too dangerous. They're pretty, you know, just got to be smart. Don't be dumb about lighting the fuses and things like that. Don't let the 10-year-old go do it. Like, it needs to be an adult.
But they don't go like into a tree line and all of a sudden you start a fire.
You have to build a decent, so usually you use PVC pipes and you build decent, what they call it, like a rocket launching kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you got to make sure those are secure, that they're not going to fall over. You do have to. Most of the ones on like America's Funniest Home Videos and things like that aren't just. People are just sticking them in the road and they're not. You have to have a system. You got to make sure it's done right.
And are they expensive?
Some are very expensive. And so the bigger, the cooler you have, the more expensive it's going to be.
So are you a fireworks person? Do you love fireworks?
I actually don't care.
Yeah.
That's not my thing.
Whenever because I grew up in Southern California, so we'd go to Disneyland a lot. And they always have, every night, they have their fireworks show. That was the time we would go on rides. Everybody's watching. Everybody's watching. It just never held a lot of interest for me. But I could see it. A lot of people love it. They absolutely love it. And I have seen some cool fireworks and I'm just like, ooh, that was cool.
Yeah. Those are the super expensive ones too.
Yeah, of course they are. Of course they are.
You can really get the good stuff for that.
But that would be neat to end camp on. I agree with that. For sure.
And I feel like it's a little, I feel like that's a stereotypical camp, because I feel like a lot of the camps on TV, don't they have fireworks?
Do they?
Am I thinking something wrong?
I don't know. They should do that for graduations, high school graduations too, right? Why not have fireworks show? All right, let's move on to programming idea.
Number two. So this is I had at Camp Good News, and I am currently installing it right now at Southeastern Baptist Youth Camp, but it is blow dart guns. And when we were at Camp Good News, we had the guns, it's a metal pipe with the mouthpiece on it, and we would blow blanks. So they didn't have the point, but we'd blow the blanks and knock over little things. So you think your BB gun range, we had little tin cans, things like that you'd knock over. We had this whole little building. It was in just this little, like, small little, we called it a screen house because it was all screens around, but just a little building so you didn't lose the darts anywhere crazy, things like that. And it was a lot of fun.
I didn't know their blanks were a thing. I didn't know that
And you just don't put the point in. You just leave them out. But obviously it ended in 2020. We're not sharing breath anymore. So that ended and it's now 2024. And I'm like, you know what? It was fun to do. So I looked into it, like, how can I do this in still time that COVID and flus and all the different diseases are out there? How do we do this differently? And so found some cheap blow dart guns on Amazon. Okay. And the person I looked this up recommended buying gobs of mouthpieces. So don't just buy one mouthpiece. Like, you have your one per thing, but you buy several and then they go into a sanitizer solution. So after a kid uses it, the mouthpiece comes off, goes into a sanitizer solution, and then you put on a new mouthpiece that is clean, and then you go that way. And so we are also using the darts here. We decided to go a little bit bigger and actually use the darts because I enjoyed that. Like, with the blank, it's, in fact, blow darts are very simple. Like, you aim and it hits that spot. I'm very impressed at how easy it is to hit where you're going. It's just how fast you can blow. But it's because sometimes kids don't have enough air to get there, but they usually go where they're aiming. But when you had the blanks, I knocked over a tin can, but like I want a target. Like, I want it to stick in. And so we just built a whole little room on the far end wall. We went and got that pink foam insulation, four-by-eight sheet of insulation. We covered that wall so have something to stick into, and then we are painting it to look like you're underwater, under the sea. And so the whole wall's gonna have, there's gonna be a big old octopus and his little suckers on his arms. They're gonna face and they're gonna be little targets. So I have little stickers to put on that can be his targets. And then we're going to hang fish and stuff, like little rubber fish. We're going to hang from the ceiling. So you have some 3D targets that are a little bit closer.
Oh, fun.
But yeah, so that's going to be our new one of our new big programming things this year is adding.
All right, listen. So I've never done blow darts. What if you like inhale? The kid so inhales.
You can't. There's a stopper, so it can't come back in. If you stick your mouth up and try and breathe in, it's not going to do anything because there's a stopper that keeps it from coming back. Like the mouthpiece area is actually smaller than the outgoing area.
Okay.
The only thing that with ours that I don't really like, we'll probably, especially with our younger kids, we'll probably have to load it for them because you're obviously putting this big needle inside the end of a tube.
Right.
And then it goes down that way. But
cool.
The older kids, they'll be fine. But yeah. So we're in, it's super neat. Something different.
I'll have to visit again.
Yeah.
Do that.
So that'll be good. By the way, when you visit again, we're getting a new golfing obstacles.
Finally.
So we have a school group that's building it for us. We're super excited. Their like shop class is going to build all this.
Oh, nice. Nice. So, no puzzles?
Fun. No. We need to go and do one. So maybe that's the next idea several years down the road, but everything we saw, so Kurt and I have talked about doing an escape room mini golf, and everything really needs some technology of some kind, I feel like.
Yeah.
And so I don't, where we're at, I can't put that outside.
That's fair. All right. Well, let's move on to number three, staff idea.
All right. And I know we've talked about this before, but we've talked about everything before. So just deal with it. But first night frivolities. And so this is the opening up camp with this fun beginning night. And it's the staff are doing skits and silly songs. And we actually have, so between skits, so while they're cleaning off one skit and setting up for the next one, I will play some funny TikTok videos on a screen. So that way there's like some intermission-ish time that they can clean up and set up for the next one. But first night frivolities is a huge hit. The staff usually love it. And they get to perform for the kids that first night. And it's a great opening to camp. The camp is going to be fun and awesome.
Download those TikToks while you can, man.
I know. So sad. Have you been to my TikTok?
I was just going to say.
I have a new one.
Oh, a new one.
It's my camp one. So my new camp, we had one in our old camp. And now.
Are those the TikToks you're going to show on the first night?
Oh yeah, those will all be on there. So,
yes.
My SBY camp, is that my name?
Is that what it is? SBY camp. I will say, go to Chris's TikTok channel. Those are funny, man.
I guess if you go to sbycamp.com, at the very bottom, I have a link to my TikTok there.
There you go. Yeah, on your new website too, which looks great.
It is SBY camp, is what it's called on TikTok. It's all camp memes.
It's funny. I'm like, there's another one. This one's good. And there are little things that I've seen some of them elsewhere, but
I stitched. Did you see my most recent one with the cats? I just put one last night, 2 nights ago.
Let's look. It did not pop up for me, but I'm sure it will. All right. Number four. Okay. Number four is our call-in question. Thank you, Lucas, for sending this in.
You know who you are.
Who you are.
Say your last name.
There was no last name, but okay.
Oh, it's not Oil, Lucas Oil.
It is not. That would be all right. Being seasoned camp pros, are there any activities from when you were a camper yourselves that have stood the test of time? And then he has a follow-up question. Are there any activities that you experienced as a camper that you hope never make a comeback, or if they're still around, should be put out to pasture? So let's do the first one. Are there any activity when you were a camper, are there any activities that have stood the test of time that you're still doing?
Playing. Yeah. Carpet ball, still pretty popular.
Oh,
I feel like that
you had
is...
carpet ball at your camp.
We did have carpet ball at our camp, and I can remember lining up for. What's weird now is the kids nowadays have changed. When we played as a kid, you lined up the four balls; they were just in a line. Now, and it's been this way since. In fact, I've been camping professional. The kids are putting them you get the four balls and you can put them in any design, any order you want. There is no lining them up. It is still very popular, at least.
Interesting. No, I know. We never had that. Anything else?
I mean, archery, that's been around forever. Or I think Steal the Bacon,
you enjoyed that?
Yeah. So my brother enjoyed it a lot more. The competitive sporty people.
That's their game. A different one. steal the bacon, you run and grab it and get back,
yeah,
right?
Get back over your line. Okay. Yeah.
So, yep. Interesting.
I never really enjoyed anything that was sporty. But fair. The sporty kids love that. And then that's still very popular. Or like the giant ball volleyball where you get like the 6 foot long or 6 foot diameter ball that you all have to get over. So those were some fun.
Yeah, for me, capture the flag, right? Has never gone out. It's still so good. And we will, in fact, we're going to talk about that in one of our four episodes. Other than that, your campfire and songs kind of thing. Thank goodness that hasn't gone away.
Swimming.
The basics, the classic kind of big activities.
S'mores. Right?
S'mores. Yep, that's true. So I can't think of anything. I do know it was the camp that I went to as a kid had a very good nature center, and you don't see a lot of really good nature centers at camps. This one, you go in and you would press a button and it was interactive, and it would be like this. It was like something you would see at a kind of a museum.
Yeah.
And I was always really impressed with that. Always wish that would be something. All right. What about something that you had at camp that you're like, oh, so glad it's gone?
So the one that came to mind immediately is Trust Falls.
Oh, like,
right
good
off
one.
The bat.
Good one. Yes.
Very few people are not doing those anyway, but I feel like, that is a immediately no. That is a big one.
Horrible. Horrible. I've seen people slam to the ground. Trust Falls. The one that immediately came to my mind is we had the ice cream trough.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Horrible. You just have this half PVC pipe that went the length of the field, and kids on either side with their spoons ready to eat the ice cream. And then staff doing scoops of ice cream saying, wait until we get it all done. And kids are like, just ready. And then going all the way down line. And by the time it's ready to go, like some of it's melted already. And then go and you start doing it. And kids like saliva is going back in there. And it's just this mush. You get like one, maybe two bites. And you're just inhaling it, trying to get more. It was horrible. Yeah, and you're gross. Just on your knees eating. Oh, just give me two scoops in a cup. I'm good to go.
So, I think any of the eating stuff has gone. So like, did you ever play the games where like you pull something out of a garbage bag and you have to eat it? So a lot of time it ended up being baby food.
No.
Or like it was always gross stuff you had to eat. You had to chug them out. Was their goal trying to get people to throw up? That was the Chubby Bunny, another one you had to
throw. Oh, Chubby Bunny, yeah. I remember the root beer chug was huge. And kids coughing and root beer coming out of the nose. And oh my goodness.
Like it's just gross.
Memories.
So don't miss
all right. That. Cool. Thank you, Lucas, for that question. I'd give you the number to give us other questions, but it doesn't matter at this point.
It doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't. And very few people called sad tear. But that's okay. That's okay. We love y'all. So all right, number
you missed out. Now you don't have the opportunity.
You don't. Number five, social media spotlight. What do you got for that?
Okay, so I copied this. Let me see when. I don't even remember when it was from because I didn't bother writing down apparently who wrote it on social media.
Put it. Bad.
So
form.
I'm doing well. But the person asked a question, says, when do you reach out to staff about working next year? So I think this was in the fall. They had posted this. And these were the summary of the answers that I got from that. I was like, so this was off was it Summer Camp Professionals 2.0?
Okay.
So this 2.0 Facebook site. And so this is what big people said. Number one, end of summer surveys. So right off the bat, if you want that staff for next year, you reach out to them right at the end of the summer when you're doing end of summer surveys or the exit interviews. You're talking to them then. Like, we want you for next year. Where do you see yourself coming back, having that there? And then they gave a lot of people gave some dates. They said your key staff should all be set in place for the summer. They should be set in place the September. So by September before. So September 1st, your key staff. These are your admins, kind of your key ones.
Right.
Your lead staff is November 1st. So your lead archery person, your lead things like that. So that's a couple months later. and then the rest of your staff by February 1st, which is a little bit more time. And then pretty much if you don't have them by February 1st, you're good luck. And that seems to be the case. I've definitely noticed that. We're now in April and still looking for a few.
Yeah.
And just we're scraping the barrel. But and then a lot of people answered to it. They said October was the time when you reach out to your staff about working. So if you're not in October, you're too late.
I remember at one point, obviously this is pre-COVID, but I remember specifically hiring, but always leaving two spots open because it seemed like we would always get last minute applications that would be good. Like we're going, oh, I really like this person, but we have all of our spots filled. I wish I had a position open. And for a few years, we decided to keep just like two spots open for those last minute, always filled them and with good people. But it really depends on where you're at. So,
yeah. And it's at this point, it's not a bad idea to add some staff on because I can't tell you how many staff I've had that like first week. Yeah, this isn't for me. Good. Glad I have a backup. But trying to find a backup after summer started. No, that ain't going to happen.
These days, it's completely different. And because people want weeks off for family vacations. Yeah. And it's not like it used to be where they're like, okay, awesome. I've got a job for the summer. I'm staying the summer. Yeah. This is going to be great. No, the time's passed.
No, all right. It's definitely changed.
Good. All right.
Sorry, whoever posted that originally on social media, I did not write down your name, but it was like last fall. So there's a good chance they don't remember either.
And that's Chris Kalau. That is not.
That's Kurt. Right. That's right.
All right. My favorite. It's trivia game time. Number 6.
Yes. All right. Baby animal names, Kurt. Okay.
Baby animal names. Are you kidding?
I will tell you.
Me?
Yeah. I will tell you the adult animal.
Okay.
And you tell me what a baby of their species is called.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay. It does.
It's number 1.
Yes.
Bear.
Bear. What cub.
Is a baby bear called? Cub. All right. Woo-hoo. Keep track of your own score.
Okay.
You got one.
I got it. Got one.
Number 2. A yes. Bee.
A bee. A buzz.
No.
No. It's a baby bee. It's a bee. No.
Incorrect.
I don't know. I don't know.
Larva. Baby bees are called larva.
Oh. So. Yuck.
Not so good. All right. Another one. And this might be for all whales. I couldn't remember, but it's specifically a beluga whale. Their babies are called what?
Calf?
Yes, it is a calf.
Okay. Okay. So okay.
Two. All right. Grasshopper. Baby grasshopper.
Ah, the grasshopper. That's called a mint.
It is. It's definitely not that.
Okay. It's a grass crawler.
Grass, yeah, just a crawler. There's no hopping.
No hopping.
Not yet.
I don't know. What is it?
It's called a nymph.
A nymph?
Or grasshopper.
Really?
Baby grasshoppers are called nymphs.
Yep. Huh. All right.
Let's do an easy one.
Please.
A deer. Baby deer.
A deer is Bambi.
Is and what was he called? He was not, when he was a baby, he was considered a...
Doe.
An easy one. Nope, doe's female. You're not in the Midwest, so maybe that's a male deer. You wouldn't know. Here in the Midwest, we're all like easy.
Really? What is it?
Yeah. It's a fawn.
Oh, I should have known that. Yes, I knew that. Yeah. No, I should have had that.
Disappointing.
That's bad. It is disappointing. I'm disappointed myself.
All right. This one has two options. You can put either or.
All right.
A baby eagle.
Eaglet.
That is correct. That is one of them. Yeah, do you know the other one?
No.
For a bonus point, it's a fledgling.
Oh, fledgling. I have heard that, but yep. I wouldn't have got it.
Have you ever looked at a baby eagle?
Have I looked at one?
Yeah.
Like,
you need like
right
Google
outside
baby
my
eagle at some
window.
Point.
Why is there something special about a baby
eagle? Well, so like one of my tricks when I had the nature center at camp was to show Carrie a baby of the species. Oh, look at this, so cute. And then she'd be like, yeah, you could get that. And that was always like because babies are always usually cute and adorable. If I showed her baby eagle, she'd be like, "You are absolutely, that is the most ugly creature."
No feathers. It's just pink little. Ugly.
It looks like a fat little bird.
The little baby birds are ugly.
They are. Like, that is true.
All right. What's the next one?
All right. Number seven, a ferret, baby ferret. So similar to foxes. Does that help?
Farrier.
I think it's a fox. Baby's called this.
I don't know. I know what the fox says, but I don't know what the baby says. No, what's a ferret? A kit. Yep. I didn't know that. I'm learning.
All right. Here's another one. You might get this one.
Okay.
I have hopes for you. A fly. Baby fly.
Maggot?
There you go. Maggot. Yeah. It's baby flies. Maggots.
Nasty.
That was... Did you ever hear, like, the weird, the science, how people thought the maggots just grew out of, like, the bacteria stuff?
And somebody,
there was some scientist. Now, this has been a few years since high school. But I can remember he, like, did this whole experiment to show, like, he had whatever dead food that was just left out in the open. And then, not dead food, but old food was left. Yeah. And then old food that he, like, covered. And to show that, like, the maggots didn't just start growing out of the old food, that they actually were, there was flies that landed on laid eggs and
interesting. And so, yeah.
But people used to think that as food got older, it just started developing maggots.
Yeah.
All right. This one's cute. I like this one. This is baby hedgehog.
Oh, baby hedgehog. Sonic. They're called Sonics.
This is so close. All right. Think of the last part of that name. That might help you. It's a hedgehog.
Hoglet.
Ooh, close.
It is a piglet.
Piglet, yep. Baby hedgehogs are called piglets.
There we go. All right. So, thank you. I like the nudge. That was a good nudge. You're like a good game master.
I'll try that. All right. This should be the easiest one. Did you watch Friends?
Occasionally.
Okay. This Joey. Is a Friends reference too. Yeah.
I knew exactly.
Baby kangaroo Tribbiani. That was my favorite. I used to write. I can remember in high school when I discovered the thesaurus, and that is pretty much what I did. Just change every word to whatever a good big word in the thesaurus. And my papers did not make sense. Maybe kangaroo Tribbiani.
I use the thesaurus quite a bit, like online. Sometimes it works for you. Sometimes you're just like, eh, that's not exactly what I was looking for. But
now the only time I use it is when I'm trying to find like a similar like synonym, but I want to start with a certain letter. It's like when we were doing the cafe bags or things like that. I was what? I need an F word that means something that starts with the letter F. Like
now you just go to ChatGPT.
Yeah, for the most part. Give me a good acrostic for these kinds of things.
All right, that was fun. Thank you. All right. Number seven, craft idea or tip.
All right. I just saw this online the other day. I took a picture of it. I thought it was really neat. And they did it a couple different ways. So if you are, depends on the camp you are. If you're faith-based camp, you can even add a different element to this. But this person took book pages. So like an old book, they ripped out the pages, cut them out, made them nice and straight so they didn't look all ragged. And then you draw pictures on there. Like that was your background. And so you might rip out a piece of a Harry Potter book and you draw a picture of a cartoon Harry Potter or something like that. And I'm like, oh, that was really. And then the one I saw too, there was it'd be great for a faith-based camp. They took an old hymnal, ripped out a page of a hymnal, and then they like wrote words on it, like really big. And they had a little Bible verse or something like that.
Only in black, right? You don't do colors.
Only in black. Yeah. Or the pictures were colors. They did those in colors. And they looked really good. I'm like, this is neat. Kind of, it's a different medium for your art.
Your wife makes like book art kind of thing with the pages.
She does. She'll fold it and she's done so many different things with books. She'll like tear papers out and fold a certain way, make wreaths out of it. Or she has actually folded books. So you fold them down so they'll spell words a certain way. And that has gotten really popular online. A lot of people.
But she won't do that with a Bible. You can't even fold the pages.
They're too thin. They don't fold well.
Oh, that's true. Interesting.
But and it's also she has a certain, I don't remember what it is. She knows how many pages per like she would need per letter really, And so like most words, we can spell 4 or 5 letter words. That's about the max for our book before it starts expanding too big. The Bible has so many pages that when you'd start folding it anyway, you wouldn't be able to read it. It would fold backwards or it'd look weird. But
interesting.
She did Harry Potter one time. Somebody was a Harry Potter fan and they wanted, I don't remember what word they, I think they even wanted their last name in a Harry Potter book. So she did that one time. And
wow.
But for the most part, the Reader's Digest is where she'd get because they were the best, like they were the perfect size to fold these pages.
All right. Hey, yeah. Reuse.
Yeah.
Recycle, reuse.
That's right.
I like it.
It was cool. I'm doing my specialty camp this summer and I'm teaching the arts and crafts. And I saw them like, that would be like just painting a picture on an old hymnal or old book page. I thought that was cool.
Look at you, executive director, getting his hands dirty. Getting in the mix. Nice. Crafts. You're all about the crafts.
I'm very humble. So.
All right. On that note, theme idea number 8.
Okay. This is the next one. I tried to look back. I don't think we talked about this on the podcast before.
I saw your notes.
But I had these in my notes on my phone. We wanted to do one day a princess day and where our staff, we'd have all of them dress up as prince or princesses or whatever. And then campers could come out, the younger ones, things like that, that you get to interact with the princesses and do stuff. And so I came up with all the things that our camp had. And then I added a few more because your camp may have this, but to have a whole princess day where your staff dress up. So these are the different options. So you can have one of your staff girls dress up as Cinderella, and then they are in charge of the nature center. So like the mice, things like that, they can also be in charge of like cleaning because Cinderella was in charge of cleaning. That could be could help out with some cleaning in the kitchen, things like that.
Sure.
Merida, obviously archery. That's her. If you've seen the red-haired Merida.
With Cinderella, you could do some ballroom dancing too.
Do ballroom dancing. A lot of them had that though. That's almost all the princesses.
Okay.
Belle had the same thing. But
true.
So all Merida, right, archery.
Yep.
Tiana. Great. So Tiana has a couple different options you could do with her. Toad painting, number one, because she was the princess and the frogs. So you do the toad painting and crafts. But she also baked. She made those little, I can't think what they're called, the Louisiana cake things that's very popular there. So she would bake those as part of her restaurant she was trying to get going.
Okay.
So that would be a good Tiana. You could have someone, if you got some staff guys as well, one of them could dress up as Maurice. And the other could be Belle. One of the ladies could be Belle. And you have inventions. So you have your mad scientist or also storytelling because Belle loved to read. So that was her. Tinkerbell is the zip line. I put Tinkerbell the zip line. That if you've ever been to Disney, she goes on that zip line. But that's also a good, she's the one that flies. So put Tinkerbell the zip line. Right. Pocahontas. If you get Pocahontas, you could do the atlatls. Do some of the Native American
atlatl. These are all considered princesses?
I think so. I don't know what actually Disney considers an official princess, but I'm just thinking most of the Disney movies that would fit
the female lead kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Rapunzel. Now most people are probably thinking, oh, you're going to do something with hair. Nope. Rapunzel's doing outdoor cooking because she's got that frying pan. she carries that around to hit people. So she's
out. Did you braid each other's hair or something? Or
no, this is way better for Rapunzel. It's funnier. And so I am fairly certain that's what she had a Dutch, like, what are they called? The cast iron pans.
Okay.
So you're doing outdoor cooking with it. I think that's funny. Aurora. So Sleeping Beauty, that's sewing because she pricked her finger on the spinning wheel. Do some sewing with Aurora.
There you go.
Alice, and you can also get the Mad Hatter and the Rabbit and have a whole tea time with Alice. So you can sit there and have a little tea party. Dory. So Dory the fish from Finding Nemo, Finding Dory. She's obviously doing the compass course because she's good at getting lost and getting found.
Oh my goodness.
Elsa and Anna. You can have some kind of ice games where they're like either ice block sledding down the hill or where you have to chisel, like you got to hit things, whatever. You freeze like a toy in ice block you get a hammer and stuff. You got chiseled out. Yeah, person have that. Or like you freeze the t-shirt. So that's Elsa and Anna.
Right.
Snow White, you're making caramel apples. Hopefully none of them were poisonous. Moana's going to be your boating. So you're kayaking, things like that, learning how to boat.
Sure.
Raya. So if you've seen Raya, is that how you say her name? Raya and the Last Dragon. Yeah. So she's on a search for, I don't even remember, trying to find stuff. So she's your scavenger hunt.
That was actually a good movie. I'm surprised that it wasn't a good movie. Theatrical.
It was underrated.
Yeah, it really was.
Underrated.
I liked it.
But I don't know what else came out when that came out. Maybe there's something else. Ariel. Now, see, you thought Rapunzel was going to be hair, but no, that's Ariel because she's got her dingle hopper that she's helping do your hair
with. Okay. Okay.
She could also do fishing, really, or like sand volleyball, something like that. You could put
no
Ariel
singing
for that.
No,
because she lost her voice.
Water play. Okay.
Ariel could be your lifeguard at the pool. Jasmine, you're doing a magic carpet hike.
What?
So going just on a hike to show you a whole new world, Jasmine from Aladdin.
So there's no magic carpet. There's no carpet.
There's no magic. You can carry carpet if you want.
Carpet squares.
I'm joking. Mulan is, I put her down as throwing sports. So like tomahawk, ninja stars, knife throwing. That'd be Mulan.
Okay.
Not Asha, do you know who Asha? Oh,
yeah. Who's Asha?
Asha. So that's from the new one from Disney Wish. And so she has the star, comes down and grants her a wish or something. It wasn't a very good movie. But she would be doing stargazing because she's in charge of the star.
Okay.
Mary Poppins can either be your nurse or she does baking with sugar because a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. So Mary Poppins could be that.
Can you do anything with umbrellas and stuff?
Were you dancing in the rain? What are you doing with umbrellas? Just opening and closing them? Got to the station and look at an umbrella.
good point. I don't know why I said that.
I guess you could have Bert and you could do like sidewalk chalk drawings. Bert did the sidewalk chalk drawings.
They did he?
Cinderella. Yeah, because then they jumped into it.
Mary Poppins.
Not Mary Poppins. And then probably the biggest, most drama-filled Disney princess of all.
Who?
Emperor Cusco from, what was the Emperor's New Groove with the, he was a llama. He got turned into a llama.
That's like your favorite movie, right? Your favorite
Disney? Lilo and Stitch is my favorite.
Right. And you don't have Lilo Emperor's or New Stitch Groove on here.
Cool. I don't. I'm surfing, I guess they could do.
Yeah.
Or they can do music with Elvis,
alien stuff.
Yeah, laser tag. Anywho, Emperor Cusco, would be at the pool because he wanted to put his pool at the top of that mountain, so he would be his little water park.
Okay, yeah.
So
wow,
there's a whole Princess Day.
That's awesome.
And you can see, there's lots more. Like you can throw in Lilo and Stitch, and
so are you thinking
Bambi,
like
what's Bambi doing
stations? That they would go to
stations. Like, that's what I was thinking. They'd have a hole. It'd be very open, and you go to different state. Have your camp map. So when they arrive, whoever greets them, whatever princess is the greeter at the beginning, and greets them, hands them a map, and here's all the different stations you just go to. Yeah. And these staff are leading the different activities at the station. So open house ish. I was thinking, but
all right.
If you use AI, you can make it look as good as that Willy Wonka thing that they did that make it look that impressive, and then they show up at your camp and lots of fighting.
Oh my goodness. That was crazy.
That was so funny.
How did he think that was gonna go?
He did an interview. I don't even remember what he said, but it was something to the effect of, I didn't use that much AI. Like he tried to excuse it. Like it wasn't that big. And like people are like, look at these pictures that you posted compared to what it was. Like you were nowhere near.
I think that if I would have gone there, I would just like everybody else thinking, what is
sorely
this?
Sorely disappointed.
Have you seen the new
2.0?
Right. Have you seen the new Wonka film?
I have not, and it's now on HBO Max. Actually. I need to watch it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. So,
I liked Wonka. It was a good. I like Willy Wonka, that storyline. So I think I'd enjoy Wonka.
All right, cool. Let's move on to number 9, which is theme meal.
Theme meals. So we've talked about a lot of different theme meals, and this is one I thought this would be interesting to do at a camp, but a food truck meal. And so if you can work out with some of the food trucks in your area, if you have food trucks like that, get them to come out and, hey, we're going to cover, can we pay a cheaper price, but we're going to cover whatever the kids get. So just let the kids order and then we'll buy it. Or you have staff do their own food trucks. And so get the cooks to make different things. Like one, the cooks are going to make a taco. So you have a taco bars kind of station, and the staff could have a cardboard truck that they're serving
that'd be fun.
Tacos out of. And then you have a salad area and you have a dessert area.
Yeah.
And you have a hamburger area. And so you could do a cheaper version of that where your cooks are still making it all and they're just serving it out of different little cardboard food trucks, or get some actual food trucks to come out to camp if you can. You have the ability to do that budget wise. And
so this is interesting. When I was living in Sanford here in Florida, the apartment complex next to us would have a food truck come every week, I think it was. And so I went to our leasing department, the front office, and I was like, hey, they get a food truck.
Where's our food truck?
And the guy there said, and I thought this was interesting, they have to pay for the food truck to come. And then the food truck also charges anybody for the food, obviously. But I didn't realize, I was like, food trucks would be happy to come here and just set up.
I would think so, yeah.
But no, you had to pay. So as a camp, you'd be like, I got to pay them to come and then pay for the food on top of that.
It depends. We did have one food truck person reach out to us. They wanted to come to we have a homecoming event, like an open house. Okay. And they wanted to come to it. And so they were willing to, come and just make money off what they sold. And so, it really depends. If you have maybe a good enough crowd, they'd be willing to come. Or I know like a lot of fairs and festivals and things like that, like food trucks pay to go to them because they want to sell their food. Interesting.
The apartment complex we're at now, they have food trucks I feel like it's every other week. I've tried twice.
Not good.
I go after the crowd dies, right? I'm like, I'm not just going to sit in that line. I'm not going to do it. Both times, out of food.
Yeah. So you can't.
I'm like, good for you for doing it, but I'm done. I'm done. I'm not going to try it.
No, you can't wait for the crowd to die with food trucks because that's how they are. They only have a limited amount of space to store stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, in Orlando, when we went to visit you there in Kissimmee, they have that whole little food truck area.
That's right.
A bunch of different food trucks. And then back in near my hometown, they have a little area. I can't remember. It had a weird name. Flock, I think is what it was called. And they just allow food trucks to park there, come in,
set up
and park there.
When we went to the Dells as well, there was that food truck. But it was that, what was that? Food Truck World or whatever.
Grateful Shed.
Yeah.
And a bunch of food trucks in there.
Yeah. That was cool. All right. Let's finish this off with number 10, miscellaneous. What do you got for miscellaneous?
So miscellaneous is something new we started doing here. We have done our make your own t-shirts before with you print them on the paper and the heat press. And then I just learned this last fall how to do actual screen printing. And it has been, I've really enjoyed it. Like,
really?
It is a big upfront cost, but the shirt I'm wearing right now, I screen printed. And so it is.
So you got like a screen printer that you actually put the ink down.
We did. And it's really not as expensive as people think. So to do screen printing, just a quick how to, I learned from TikTok. So that's a good place to go. But you can find usually a four station screen thing, the whole four of them, not needed. One is fine. That's all, unless you're going to try and do multiple colors, but which is hard. I wouldn't do that. But those are pretty cheap. I think I saw it on Amazon. You can get the four station screen thing plus the little heater that heats the ink in. And I think it's like $100 maybe.
What?
You got both of those together. Yeah, it was
not four station. You said four station. You mean one station.
It one station, four colors is what they're usually how they determine. So it's got four screens, but only has one spot that you can actually put your t-shirt
put the ink on. So. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Let me just double check my screen printing.
$100 Sims. Because a while ago, like years ago, I looked into kind of the professional screen printing and it had the four stations. It was like $10,000. Mm-hmm.
So it is 114. So it is the has four color one station screen printing machine. And then it also comes with the heater too.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm like, it was really cheap. Carrie and I found ours on Facebook Marketplace for really cheap. That's where we got, I think we paid maybe $50 for ours. And then another.
And you're making these to sell.
Making these to sell. But it is the hardest part. So once you come up with the designs, you have to put them on a transparency paper.
Yeah.
And so you put them on this transparency paper. You put this, it's called emulsion. You put this emulsion on the screen. It takes 24 hours to dry.
Oh, wow.
Then you put this transparency paper, you tape it to the screen and you put it in light. So like you have to create a dark room. We created a dark room with bug lights is all we use, which is works great. And so you put this on this light. So I made an LED box, just this little box of wood. It's got like four or five LED lights in it that just shine up. You stick the screen with transparency tape to it in that box, let it sit there for about 5 minutes and it hardens everything it can see. So that transparency paper, because it's got the black on it, whatever is in black, the light can't get to, so it won't harden it, but the light hardens everything outside of the transparency. And then you take it out of the box and you put a hose on it. And so where there was that black from the transparency is still liquid. So just after about a minute or two, it starts going through the screen where everything else is already hardened.
Okay.
And so you push it through. And so that just you hose it down. There's been times I didn't wait long enough and I start hosing it down and I end up hosing off the entire thing, like all the emulsion and everything. I'm like, oh, that's a pain. So leave it on long enough. That is the key. Hose it off. Once it's hosed off, you have your screen. It's all see-through. And so you put it on this little screen printer arm thing, comes down, wipe the ink on, put it on the shirt, and you're done. Like it is fast and looks good. And we have made several shirts. I'm very happy. I've started trying to do two color and getting them lined up like is a pain. And so I don't know if I will do two color again. Like it looked really nice. I did it one time. It looked really good. And since then, when I can't see through it as well anymore, because there's little tidbits of ink left on the screen. So you can't see through as well. So trying to put it back on the arm device to do two color, it's like, I can't get it lined up. Like I got it lined up that first time, made whatever 10 shirts. They sold, everybody loved them, but now I can't get it lined up again.
I think I'll just pay thousands of dollars for one of those t-shirt printers.
Yeah, those just get those amazing. Because I will buy six screens online. Screens are pricey. I think six screens cost us like $120.
Oh, wow.
They're pricey. And so I try and find those used too. They're a little bit easier. But we will emulse a bunch of them ahead of time and then store them once they dry, we store them in a garbage bag so they don't get light. And so I have a bunch of already emulsed screens. And then when I'm ready, I got a new design. Then I can just run in there and do the light box and the washing real fast.
Interesting.
But I learned all this Camp Bethany Camp up in New York when we went up there for conferences last year. Their director showed me how to do it all. And it's real fast. And it's listen, much
you're
better.
Like, I learned it all from TikTok. And now you're like, no, I got hands-on instruction from
someone. He did show me I learned it all originally on TikTok. I'm like, we're going to do this. We bought it all. And then I went up to him and he's like, yeah. And he showed me the exact same stuff. So he just showed me visually, this is what you do. I'm like, okay, that's what I saw. I'm like, I just didn't understand it quite well.
Okay. I know there are definitely YouTube videos too, tutorials. So for sure. But
yeah, it is.
Right on.
So it's much better. We used to do the iron on. Oh yeah. We're already on. So she usually buys I feel like she buys 10 or 15 of each color. We had five colors. So right before our big Christmas light thing that we did, she had at least 50 shirts, probably 100 shirts there. Sold out of almost all of them.
Wow.
Reordered, got new ones, and we're down to, I don't know, about four or five per design right now. So we need to reorder again. The thing that we're hoping to do is very similar to what we did at Camp Good News, but we had the iron on. Is we're going to have, here's your design, here's your shirt colors, kids get to pick, and then I can go and make them during the week. And so then by the end of the week or a couple days later, they can have their shirt with their favorite color t-shirt and their design that they picked out. And so it's more optional that way. But that is the goal with that. And then we'll still have a few on sale, like hands-on. So when parents show up, whatever, they can just buy them straight away. But
yeah, nice.
But yeah, it's a screen printing how-to. Look it up.
Look it up.
Google it. Just Google it.
Thanks, Joel.
That's all you gotta do, Kurt. That gives you everything you need to know. Just Google it.
I Googled. There was nothing. Now
nothing.
What?
Nothing. Well, you didn't. I'm too busy to answer your question.
Oh, you caught me in a lie.
I have a whole committee that is in charge of screen printing, and we don't have time to just Google it.
Right. Or we're, you know who you are.
We're end of our podcast. We're calling people out. You are a jerk. No one likes you. Stop being a jerk. So we've talked about this. The camping world is, we're getting to be bullies, a lot of them. Or jerks like that. And I think I've said this before on this podcast. I refuse to post stuff anymore on Summer Camp Professionals 2.0 page or things like that, because there's so many people that get on there and just are mean. If you're only going to pay your counselors this much money, then you shouldn't even be in charge of camping. I'm like, this much money in central or southeastern Indiana is a lot of money. Like, we're not charging $800 for a week camp. So,
yeah, I feel the camp industry was in a way shielded from the internet trolls, but it has seeped in to it. I know there were definitely a few like that in the original Summer Camp Pros Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always like, oh, come on, that's uncalled for. It's unnecessary. And I think they went away after they were called out a few times, but you're right. It seems it's worse now with certain people, and they're always just be nice about it.
Yep. I think the last thing I posted was the Karen bag. I was looking for some ideas for the Karen bag. And there's some Karens that apparently took offense to it. And they're like, this is so rude. I can't believe you would do that. And I'm like, listen, you're obviously, we found the Karen. Like, I wanted to post that. Like, found a Karen. Tell me what you would have in your purse. I need to know, because found you.
That's true.
I don't know.
There's like a couple of specific bad actors that are always calling for no reason, calling out people.
Did you say bad actors, or you mean bad eggs?
No, they call them bad actors. You haven't heard that phrase?
I'm not.
Sure, bad eggs too. We don't need that.
You're ruining
in the camping industry.
We were all about sharing and helping each other, and I feel like we've gotten away from that. And now it's, if you ask a question, any kind of question you ask it, like, hey, I need some help. We're having trouble finding staff, blah, blah, blah. Anyone have any suggestions? How much are you paying them? Because you're probably not paying them enough. And I'm like, I'm paying my staff $2 million a week. It's probably the hours then. You're working. I'm like, oh my goodness. I just asked a question. If you don't have an answer to that question, shut up.
Right. 95% of the people are still really nice and helpful, but there are those ones that kind of ruin it for everybody. And you're right. I think that a lot of people, once you start seeing rude comments, people are going to be less likely to ask or share or even be part of the group. And so it's not good for anyone. And so the moderators should be like, hey, stop. But the problem is sometimes they are the moderators who are doing this. And that's an issue. So, all right, man. Yes, I think I'm done with this episode.
That is why my brilliant ideas are not on there anymore, because I'm too many people were being Karens.
I'm taking Karens my ball and going home. Catch me at a conference kind of thing. Is that what you're saying?
Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch me outside.
Next time on the Scamp Life podcast, the programming side, we're going to talk about after hours fun. This is where apparently it's not happy hour, it's after hours. We're going to talk about
when the lights go down at camp.
Is that a song?
Yeah, go what down in that? The city. And it gets, because you listen to talk radio all the time or whatever
that
you listen
is to. True. Listen to podcasts. That is probably the problem.
Anyways,
next time, after hours. For this time, 4 episodes left from around our slowly dwindling campfire. The embers are there.
So sad.
It's going out. This has been Kurt and Chris. Thanks for listening.
See ya.